Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast, hosted by Jonathan Moody and Donnie Sturgis.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Donnie Sturgis, and with me, as always, is Jonathan Moody. And
hey, what's up?
Forgive us both. Apparently, the plague has come across the upon the radio waves that has infected both me and Moody. So we're going to do our best to make the show work, even though we're both kind of under the weather. But with us is Alfred Crane, who is basically, hey, what's up, man? So tonight we're going to cover ground that's probably been covered a million times over in the past several months. With horses that have been beaten dead, tauntauns, I guess you would say, that have been beaten dead and turned into glue. But we're going to talk about The Last Jedi. I figure by this point, everybody has seen it. If you have not, spoilers, I'll put a spoiler alert up there because we'll probably get into some spoilers. But I guess we'll start this off with we'll talk about the divisiveness of this one. Let's just jump right in and talk about how this movie seems to have divided Star Wars fans right down the middle. In fact, I saw something the other day where somebody had posted the fact that Star Trek fans have been divided for a long, long time. You had your Next Generation versus your original series and stuff, and then basically you have your J.J. Abrams dissenters and everything, and with your classic Trek and stuff. And for the most part, it was a comment from a friend of mine who had mentioned the fact that up until this point, Star Wars fans had been mostly unified. Like, in fact, Star Wars fans used to make fun of Star Trek fans because they're like, "Aha, you guys can't even, agree on what you like and everything." And for the most part, Star Wars fans were universally like, "Yay, the original trilogy is great. Yay, the prequels suck." And now all of a sudden this movie comes along and now everybody's just like, "Hey, we're just as divided as you guys." So let's dig into that and see what we get out of that. What do you think?
Who do you want to go first?
Let's have Alfred go first. Cause I mean, he's our guest. So we'll let him take the reins.
All right. Thanks. I'll have to admit, when I saw the movie, I really loved it, and I saw it two more times, and I still liked it. I mean, there still is kind of a tremor in the Force, because I gave it an A for surprises, because I thought, can we go spoilers or no?
Yeah, spoilers.
I
threw the spoiler tag out there, so go for it.
Okay.
Hopefully everybody sees it at this point, if not.
I thought Leia had like 5 minutes. Movie, and that was going to be it. And I was like, really surprised how much she was in it. I give it an A for surprises and a B minus for originality, because at points I was like, I felt like I was watching Empire and then Jedi.
Sure.
And then I started to read into someone did a really good web posting on some of the, I don't know if it's canon or non-canon, but a lot of the stuff that were kind of like, where the hell did that come from, came from the expanded universe. So after I read that, I was a bit more accepting of a few things, but
sure.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was going too comedy at first. I thought we're going to go Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor. But then it kind of settled down, and there's a lot of fun parts, and I had a good time. I mean, if I had a few things to do to change it a bit, I would, but
sure.
I enjoyed the new characters they introduced, and they had some really cool scenes. I mean, they're one of the coolest spaceship scenes when commander went to a warp light speed and blew the Snoke ship in half. But I enjoyed it all three times, and like I said, I can see where people can be like, you know, they're trying to vote it off the island, but we got some time to share more, and I'll turn it over to Jonathan.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. I think I talked about this before to you, Donnie. Like, I enjoyed it myself.
Sure.
And I was kind of, you know, I even put a post on my Facebook saying, I can't believe, I don't know why people hate on this so much. Fuck the haters. You know, this is actually a good movie,
right.
I thought. Because, you know, when I hear, and then John Johnson had to say something, of course, because he's one of the guys who, our mutual friend, Donnie and I, have a mutual friend who is was not a huge fan of this particular movie. And, that didn't persuade me to, like, going, well, John didn't like it, I'm not going to go see it. You know, like, I wanted to see what he didn't like about it, and maybe... You know, and maybe I would agree, or maybe I wouldn't, and I'm very glad I didn't.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say my piece of why I enjoyed it. I felt like it was a little bit different, you know, than the Force Awakens, and I feel like, you know, it was, you know, yeah, it did have a little bit of the, you know, things that we weren't wanting, like, you know, it felt a little bit too much like Empire. Especially with, Benicio del Toro kind of playing a very Lando Calrissian type of role, but doing it himself, you know, being his own character, and I enjoyed that. At first, I didn't know it was him for a long time.
Really?
I did not realize that was him. And I thought they did such a great job with him as a character that I just got lost into it. So I knew he was in it. You know, somewhere,
right.
And then when it kind of got toward the end, I go, wait a minute, that's Benicio del Toro, isn't it? And I was very happy to feel like for a little bit of time that I wasn't being, you know, strung along by a Hollywood actor, that I was, you know, they weren't throwing a cameo in there because, you know, they can afford to. Which, you know, that's what I was a little bit worried about in the beginning with Disney taking over the franchise, is that how much of this is going to be Hollywood, and, you know, Hollywoodized, and how much of this is actually going to be canon from, you know, a lot of old, you know, stuff from Star Wars. So anyway, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the direction. I enjoyed Luke really. Luke, I have, like, a love or hate on it because I love the fact that they brought him back and that he was still awesome. And then spoilers, you know, once again, so cover your ears if you've not seen this, but Luke dies at the end.
Right.
And makes no sense whatsoever of like, okay, I'm going to come here and I'm going to, you know, fight this character, right? I'm going to come in but I'm going to fight him with my mind. I'm going to be so powerful, he's going to think he's fighting me. And then when I beat him up and make sure he, you know, like, I prove that, like, hey, you can't get me, I'm going to kill myself. Does that make any sense whatsoever? I don't know.
Well, I don't think he killed himself. I think the strain on his body from projecting himself that far across the galaxy was what killed him. And because he basically was using every ounce of strength and force ability that he had left. I think that's what they were trying to go for, is they were trying to, you know, basically say, look, he has one big shot to do what he needs to do to kind of set, and because his whole point of being there in the first place is he realizes that he was wrong about, you know, turning his back on everything, and that he was, you know, at that point he was like, I need to do what I need to do, and he knew all that he had left was to be the beacon that he didn't think he could be, and to atone for the sins that he had caused, you know, basically during the time that we didn't see with you know, his nephew and everything. And so him standing there was him not only thumbing his nose at his son or at his nephew and saying, look, he's like, you're never going to be who you think you're going to be. But it was also him basically reigniting the flame of the rebellion and being a beacon of hope when there was none. And it took so much out of him that basically it was like he did everything he needed to do at the end. He atoned for his sins, and it was time for him to go to rest. And I think Ryan Johnson even confirmed that as well, but I could be wrong. But
I hope he comes back as a Jedi spirit a la Obi-Wan. He'll do that. I'm hoping he'll come back as an Obi-Wan ghost.
I can't imagine why not, because, I mean, we saw the return of Yoda in this episode, so clearly the Force ghosts are still out and about. And so my guess is, because at this point, there are no masters left in the universe. All the masters of any type of Force discipline are gone. And so I have a feeling that you're going to have I have a feeling that even though Luke is dead, I think Mark Hamill is going to return and stay as a Force ghost and probably continue to guide Rey on the path she needs to. But at the same time, you know, they've established that the old teachings need to expand, need to go away, and that the ideology of what the Jedi is needs to expand and grow and become something better than what it used to be. Because even he was saying that, you know, the Jedi were awful. Like they are the reason why the Emperor came to power, because they had their hubris and their arrogance at how powerful they were is what brought them down. And so he wants everything to be better than that.
Right.
So I have a feeling, and you know, I would really, it'll be a bonus, and I'm honestly hoping that they do this, because I know J.J. Abrams is coming back to direct the final installment, since the other director that they had got fired. But I think it would be really, really cool if you see, because I mean, Luke even said, if you strike me down, he said to Kylo, if you strike me down, I will haunt you like your father does. And so
yeah.
I think it'd be really funny to have Luke not just appear to Rey, but in the next film, constantly appear to Kylo and constantly just taunt him and just basically sit there and just anger him, you know, constantly over his shoulder, like, hey, what are you doing? That's stupid. What are you doing? You know, just basically just keep, you know, constantly just poking at him, you know, metaphorically and just angering the hell out of him. I think that'd be really, really cool.
Kind of like the lady following Baltar in Battlestar Galactica, the new one.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So
that would be cool.
I think that'll be, yeah. And I mean, why not? I mean, you know, and I getting back onto the whole idea of the split. I understand why people are split on this movie. It's this movie had to do a lot of things. The first movie was meant to bring the nostalgia back, because everybody was so unified in their anger over the prequels that Abrams knew that in order to bring the fans back in, to bring in new people, he had to kind of retread what we'd already seen. And so that's what The Force Awakens was. And for the most part, it had its dissenters as well. But for the most part, most people loved it. And even though they're like, well, it's A New Hope all over again. But J.J. Abrams knew that that's what we needed at that point in time. We needed the familiar in order to kind of get us back in and go, oh, man. You know, they needed to pull at those heartstrings. I think what Last Jedi attempted to do was to give us a little bit of the old, give us a little bit of the new, and at the same time, the message in the movie is the same as the message about the movie. The whole underlying message wasn't just for the characters in the film; it was for everybody. Like, hey, Star Wars isn't always going to be the same thing. You've got to break free of the traditions that you've held yourself to. And so you need to learn that Star Wars can be different. And I agree. Like, at first, the humor at first, because like the whole scene at the very beginning where Poe is basically doing the call thing with Hux, and he's like, hello, are you there? Are you there? I laughed my ass off, and then I was like, this feels really weird. This is the type of humor that I'm used to. But as I was thinking about it, I was like, why not? Like, who says it can't be?
Yeah.
Because we've never seen that before. Like, and so I saw a good point the other day where they were talking about how the same thing with, like, Force abilities. You see new Force abilities in this movie, and people were like, well, that you've never seen them do that before. Like, every Star Wars movie that you've seen, we've seen new Force abilities that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
So it's a common thing. And to be fair, the new Force abilities in this movie really aren't that radically different. Like, they're just kind of different versions. So – but, I mean, in general, I think the division is just – a lot of people just don't want to let go of what they like. They're like, hey, I want my Star Wars to be this one thing, and I want it to only be this one thing, and you put some new chocolate in this peanut butter of Star Wars, and I don't like it. And so – and you're going to lose people. But, unfortunately, you're going to bring in new people as well. And I'm the type of person where I'm willing to adapt. I'm willing to open my mind to the Force and allow myself to see this film as the next step towards something bigger. And again, I think that's where the division is. And I think that's why we're so, you know, everybody's so divided on it, is because it's they weren't expecting a lot of the things that happened. And to be fair, when you look at it, you're just like, why not? Why can't Star Wars be this? Why can't Star Wars be that? So,
and I agree with you on that. But I want to mention that a lot of people are also saying that to them, with a lot of the new ways, and that the old ways have to be taken out, and all this blah blah blah, is basically trying to piss on George Lucas's Star Wars, which is not true. But that's what a lot of people are trying to. That's what they're trying to. A lot of people are trying to claim is that it's like saying, well, you know what, George Lucas's Star Wars doesn't matter. You know, this is what's going on now, and this is what, you know, whatever. And I think that's
sure.
It's bullcrap, because you're exactly right. Like, we need to adapt to something new. It's a whole new era of Star Wars. I mean, there was the 80s and the 70s and 80s, and there was, you know, the 2000s, basically 1999 to 2005. Now this is 2000 and 15 to 2020 or whatever, and this is our, you know, this is this specific one, you know, this is the Star Wars, and we have to, you know, we have to understand that this is what's going on with it. It's not, you know, it's a whole new future, basically, and then they're going to be more, you know,
go ahead, Alfred.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the biggest things, like this, we brought up J.J. Abrams, you know, in his Star Trek. I think what I have to do with what I did with these is what I did with when J.J. Abrams did Star Trek, was I just totally kept my mind open and just was like, And when I was in college, I would do everything I could to learn every nuance of a new movie. But this time I was like, saw the teaser, saw the extended, and that was it. I didn't kind of keep watching them and try to analyze them. I said, I'm going to go in and enjoy it. And I really liked Benicio Del Toro's character, because when he showed up, I was like, holy cow, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And the lady from Jurassic Park, I can't think of her name right now.
Laura Dern.
Cow.
Yeah, go ahead.
And no, it just was a great way to introduce some, you know, new characters that we know, I mean, professional-wise, and then old ones. I mean, Chewbacca had some really funny moments, and some people were like, well, that was cruel. It's like, it was funny. It was Chewbacca being Chewbacca. I mean,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the part
where...
Oh,
you mean
where...
Chewbacca and the porgs?
Yeah.
That stuff was so silly, but
it was fun. And it's funny, too, because a lot of people are angry about the Porgs, and they're, like, saying that they're the new Ewoks, which I don't agree with, because the Porgs had no bearing on the plot whatsoever. And the only reason why the Porgs were even there, I was reading about this a couple weeks ago, is that because of the island that they filmed on has puffin penguins, you know, little puffins. And they are protected, and so they were filming on the island, and the puffins were everywhere, and they couldn't just shoo them away because they're protected. And so basically what they had to do is basically almost all the porgs that you see out there on the outside are basically digitally changed from being puffins.
Oh, wow.
So the porgs were their way of trying to work around the puffins that they weren't allowed to shoo them away. They weren't allowed to try to make them move or anything. They basically were told that they had to try to film around them. And so anytime a porg or a puffin popped up in frame, they just basically digitally altered it into a porg. And granted, they kind of, it's really interesting how that worked out. So it was, the porgs are really their creation was really only to fix a technical issue, but they made it work, and I think they made it. I think it was just cute enough without being too cute. It wasn't like overly done. I think there was just enough to it. But that's another thing that divided everybody. As far as the movie goes, a lot of people were like, "Oh my god, the damn porgs!" And I'm like, they weren't that bad. And you know, I wanted to get back on what you were saying earlier, Jonathan, about. How, you know, there really were shades of Empire and Jedi in this movie, but I think they did that with a purpose. I think Rian Johnson, what he wanted to do is he wanted to take the familiar. And once again, this whole movie is about taking the familiar and turning it on its ear. Because if you notice, a lot of the same beats from Empire and Jedi are in this movie, but they go in a completely different direction.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
With the Benicio del Toro character. It's very similar to Lando, but that went a completely different direction. Like, he was helping them, and then he turned on them after they got caught. And so, and then on top of that, you have the situation with, you know, the Jedi angle the evil dude, Kylo's master.
Snoke.
Thank you, Snoke. You know, where Snoke, you know, had them bring, you know, Rey to his chambers, and, you know, they had the face off and everything, but that went completely south too. It was the same beats, but they were like, we're going to turn this on its ear. We're going to take you through the beats, but we're going to show you something different. And I think that was the whole point, was to
kind of give us the whole point before we're supposed to. You know, because you're expecting them to live to the next one.
Sure.
Now what's going to happen?
The surprise factor in this just goes like, wow.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that falls in line with the whole, because really they wanted to kind of continue some of the nostalgia factor that you love from Force Awakens. But then they're like, now here's the part where we turn everything on its ear and show you that there's a different way to go and a different way to look at things. And that's exactly what that is those moments. Are really there to kind of show you, like, look, we don't have to do this the same way anymore. And, you know, because really this movie isn't just a film, a Star Wars film to enjoy. This movie has a lot of messages that it wanted to deliver to the viewing audience as well. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. some people it went right over their heads, and some people just got too angry and just didn't care at that point. But the other
One thing that was pretty cool was at the end, I mean, we talk about, I like how it's left open, but I could have sworn I saw two times you saw the Jedi text on the Falcon in the drawer that Finn was going in and out of to get the bandages for the lady. And it looked like Rey had taken the text, and that's probably why. So we still have the text. She still has her Force abilities. The kids at the pen on that planet, and the kid grabs he's got the ring, and he's got the
right.
He whisks the broom up, and it's like, okay, so the Force, I like the approach of the Force being universal. And I think Luke was finally like, hey, I can't turn my back on the Force, but that
right.
was a really good thing too. He's like, oh, what do you feel? Is that the Force?
Yeah. Which that brings up another good point too. Again, taking something familiar and turning it upside down is the whole idea of Rey's lineage, Rey's parentage. A lot of people are also angry and upset because the reveal that Rey's parents aren't anybody, they're just junkers that sold her, pissed off a lot of people. But again, Rian Johnson was going for the last minute feint where he's like, we've seen this story a million times. We've seen Anakin. He had, you know, basically he had a Christ birth, you know, basically where he had no father. He was born from the Force. And then we had Luke, who was basically from a long line. But it's never been established that, you know, you have to come from a line of Jedi in order to be a Jedi. Anybody can be. In fact, Obi-Wan Kenobi says it in Episode 4 that the Force, you know, can affect anybody. It affects all of us. And, you know, it's all, and even in the prequels, the whole midichlorian count comes into play. So you don't have to be from a line of Jedi to be a Jedi. The Force, anybody can become a Jedi. Anybody can be Force sensitive. And so you know, Rian Johnson was trying to really drive that point home. Like, and I think that was a brilliant move on his part, because like I said, we've seen the whole, oh, I come from a line of Jedi, and so I'm special, where Rey's not special. Like her special, let me take it back. She's special, but what makes her special isn't where she comes from. It's how she defines herself. And that was the whole point of her storyline so far, is to show that she defines who she is. And we don't need to rely on who you came from, whose testicles did you pop out of. It doesn't matter anymore, you know? And I think that's great.
I agree. But the thing I and a lot of people are kind of like upset about was like they had this perfect way to let go of Carrie Fisher. They had this perfect, beautiful way, and everybody was thinking, oh, man, this is how they're going to let her go. You're going to let her go in space. That is, like, the perfect, sweetest thing. Nope, she uses the Force to come back home, which makes no sense
right.
because she's not a Jedi. She does not have, unless she is a Jedi, and that was never talked about at all.
Well, you don't have to be a Jedi to be Force sensitive to be able to manipulate the Force. Luke technically wasn't a Jedi in Empire when he called the lightsaber to his hand in the Wampa cave. He was still learning.
I think
I know a lot of the expanded universe stuff now is considered the stuff that they're doing now is canon. And I know they've established, because, I mean, you knew that Leia had Force ability when Luke was able to contact her in Empire. So that established that. And then later on in Empire, in Jedi, she could feel when that Luke had survived the explosion of the second Death Star. So those innate abilities were there. And, you know, it's one of those situations where, since we didn't have access to the 30 years of time in between Jedi and Force Awakens, it's possible that she could have been doing some light, you know, Force toning up while she was there. I mean, just from natural ability, I mean, if you have a skill, even if you don't develop it, you're still going to kind of develop it just by accident, just by doing things here and there.
Right.
And so it's not really out of the realm of believability that she was able to force pull herself back into the airlock. At least
right.
for me, I don't think it is, because really that's the only, really other than that, she, most of her Force abilities so far have still been the being able to contact and talk to people through the Force. And so, like I said, and to be fair, she's in space, and that's another thing too. It might have been a fight or flight situation, because if you think about it, they also established that the Force doesn't, you can control the Force, but the Force can also guide you as well. It's almost like it's a living, breathing entity. And so Rey experienced that in The Force Awakens when she was going up against Kylo, because everybody was complaining about how it was so weird how she could suddenly wield that lightsaber with complete accuracy. And I'm like, I don't think it was her. I think she was letting the Force control her and letting the Force guide her. And I think in this situation, I think because Leia was on the verge of death in the middle of space, I think it was a fight or flight tendency. She opened herself up to the Force, and the Force basically guided her back to the, you know, allowed her to use a Force pull to gain back into the airlock. Now, granted, that's my speculation based on what I know, but that's what I gathered from that scene.
Yeah, I agree. Like, some people are like, well, Rey got really fast with the powers really quick. I said, well, in Empire Strikes Back, which is about a half hour shorter than Last Jedi, Luke became
right.
pretty much Jedi. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, he had a crash course in Jedi training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really thought was cool was when we saw Luke's ship, the movie kept duping me, because I was like, oh, man, he raised his ship and he flew to the planet. And I was like, oh, he's a hologram. And it just kept, you know, just
yeah, no.
like really good with that. And I really liked your thoughts on those things, because I had some trouble with those things, but I accepted them, and I teared up when Leia used the Force and got back in the ship, because I thought she was a goner at that point.
Sure, sure.
And then I teared up when R2-D2 played her hologram. So they got.
Oh, man.
And then when
Yoda, that was a great scene.
When they showed him as a puppet, I was like, yes, because they didn't turn him into the Yoda of the prequel.
No, yeah.
They
recreated the puppet for that scene, which was beautifully done.
Yeah.
Although, the interesting thing, though, is now that we've established, because we've never seen it before, but we've now established that Force ghosts can physically touch people, because Yoda
mm-hmm.
physically touched Luke, and they're able to still manipulate the Force even as Force spirits. So, again, I think that's a key ingredient there that may help indicate that we might see Luke still in a very mastery capacity in the next movie. Because if he can still manipulate stuff, then, you know, there's no telling what, you know, I mean, the possibilities are endless with him. Now my dream would be, now that Luke has opened himself back to, obviously it'll be difficult to bring back an Alec Guinness. I mean, it's not impossible, because I mean, they brought back Grand Moff Tarkin for Rogue One.
Yeah.
But I would really like to see, and I know Liam Neeson has talked about it for a million times, but I would really like to see Qui-Gon Jinn show up.
Yeah, me too.
Mainly because he was the first Jedi supposedly that learned how to do the transition to Force Ghost. And even though I'm not a big fan of the prequels, I actually liked Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon. I think he was one of the best parts of the first prequel. And so I know they've mentioned it before, like he was supposed to have shown up as a Force Ghost in Episode 3, but due to time constraints, he was filming something else at the time. They couldn't, because it was actually in the original shooting script, they were going to have him appear to Yoda. But instead, all we got was Yoda mentioning it at the end of that movie because they couldn't fit it into his schedule. But, I mean, he said time and time again that he'd be willing to come back, and I think it would be great to kind of see other Force Ghosts kind of show up. Granted, there probably aren't that many since Qui-Gon was the first one to learn how to do it. So, but, I mean, it would be neat to have Qui-Gon show up and basically offer his wisdom at some point, which I think would be really neat. I mean, I don't know if they'll ever do it, but it would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Like, I almost feel like there should be a Force Ghost movie, you know, like a spinoff. Like, I'd rather watch that than Han Solo, Solo story. Because that, honestly, that's not, like, the thought of it's not gripping me, you know? Like, I kind of don't care about young Han Solo. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's weird that they are doing these solo stories or whatever in its way, because I thought the whole point was to get away from the past and concentrate on the future of Star Wars. And so you would think that they would do more Star Wars stories involving, you know, things that are happening now, you know? And so the ghost stories would be fun.
I think Disney is trying to burn the candle at both ends. I think they're trying to move Star Wars on for the next generation, but at the same time, still kind of hold on to something for those of us who grew up with it. I'm actually looking forward to the Han Solo movie only because when I was a kid, I read the Han Solo series that they put out. Cause that's like back in like early '80s, like 80, 81, 82 or whatever, 83. They did a Han Solo trilogy. It was Han Solo at Star's End, Han Solo and there were three books in the series. And I remember checking them out at my local library and reading all three of them. And I just thought they were amazing. It was fun seeing Han and Chewie, you know, dashing rogue and his Wookiee companion on the Millennium Falcon fighting against this local government called the Corporate Sector Authority and all these different little adventures that they went on. You know, and I enjoyed them. And if this movie is even half as good as I remember those books being, I think I'm in for a treat. And I'm hoping against hope. I mean, you've got Ron Howard directing it, which isn't a bad choice. The man directed Willow and other movies of that ilk. So he's not a bad choice for director filling in for Lord Miller, who got kicked off. But
How long have they shot before Ron Howard got called in?
From what I remember reading, they got a significant amount of filming done. I wouldn't
it was
say
like two thirds or say.
Yeah, I think it was like two thirds of the film was complete by the time they got kicked off. And the real reason is, it's just one of those. It's another situation, kind of like who was else that got kicked off of the movie? But it's just one of those situations where, you know, it seemed like they were going to be a good fit because Lord and Miller are actually pretty ingenious guys. You know, the Lego movie was fun, you know, and they've done a couple other things since then that are also pretty decent films. But, you know, their comedic sensibilities seemed like they're going to fit. And it just turned out that it just didn't work out that way. And I think, you know, it's just one of those situations where Kathleen Kennedy, who is the head lady at Disney Lucasfilm, I think she just saw that there's some inconsistencies that weren't going to fit with the way they want Star Wars to be, and that's just what happened. But I mean, you got Ron Howard on there, and there's a seasoned veteran who's going to be able. And I know they did a lot of reshoots. But at the same time, I do know they did keep some of Lord Miller's footage, just not very much. It's going to be almost like a Superman 2 kind of situation where they brought in Richard Lester to refilm all of Donner scenes, or not Richard Lester. I can't remember his name. I digress. I'm sick. I'm sorry. I'm forgetting names right now.
Speaking of Han Solo, I think I'm looking forward to that because I really like the guy that got to play Lando. He's really good in Community.
Yeah. Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Glover's gonna nail it.
Wonderful.
Glover's gonna nail it. That man is so talented.
I'm looking forward to the rumors of the Obi-Wan movie, and I sure hope to get McGregor, but because I think that would be another opportunity for Qui-Gon to come into a movie to do a guiding Obi-Wan through the wilderness of Tatooine. And
absolutely. McGregor just said recently they asked him, and he said he's open for it. He just hasn't heard anything, so we'll see how that goes.
Cool.
He's down for it. We just, you know. But I wanted to touch upon one more thing, and it's something really, really neat. We've got like about 10 minutes left. I did want to touch upon there's a key ingredient in Star Wars, because I've seen it twice in theaters. But there was a key ingredient in Star Wars that I didn't realize, and I love the movie even more now that I've – because you guys all remember – I'm sure you guys all know that the original Star Wars by George Lucas – was he based a lot of it off the Japanese film The Hidden Fortress, which is basically about these samurai that storm this hidden fortress and go after this, you know, big Darth Vader like bad guy or whatever. Well,
a great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they did the same thing with Last Jedi. Apparently, it was a Kurosawa film. I can't remember which film it is, but I didn't realize this until I was reading about it online, and it made me love the movie even more because a lot of people were also upset about the way the flashback sequence with Luke and Kylo when he was training him and how he almost killed him, they didn't like the way that was portrayed, and they were really pissed about how, you know, we saw it in three different ways. And from what I was reading, again, being true to the roots, and this is one of the things I love about how they're willing to still make appropriate nods to the things that we know about in our fandom, even if they're trying to move in a new direction. That sequence, every time you saw that tale being told, the first time you saw the tale being told was from Luke's point of view. And from Luke's point of view, he was the hero, and he was the one that was trying to stop Kylo. The second time you see that flashback is you see it from Kylo's perspective. And when Kylo looks at Luke has got the yellowish eyes. He's got the dark circles around his eyes. He looks evil. And as far as Kylo's concerned, he's the hero. And then you get the third version of that same flashback when Luke finally realizes what he's done, and you get the more true version of that story. And it's based on a sequence from a Kurosawa film where the whole point was to tell the same story from three different perspectives and have the audience judge which one they thought was the most accurate one. And that's exactly what they do with Last Jedi. And it makes me love that sequence even more, because I was kind of questioning it at first too, because I'm like, why is Luke so angry? Like, he wants to kill him. And then I realized after I read that article, I was like, holy crap. We're looking at it from one person's perspective. So you have Luke's perspective on the situation, you have Kylo's perspective, and then you have probably more or less the true perspective after Luke realizes what he's done. And that's when he wants to atone for his sins, is when he realizes that he made a mistake. And I just wanted to put that out there and just say that once I found that out, I'm like, it makes me love the movie even more, because that is a brilliant sequence that they pepper throughout the movie. And I was just curious,
I was going to say that also ties in with Obi-Wan saying, you know, it depends on your point of view.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good call. That was a good catch. Yeah, I didn't even thought about that, but you're absolutely right. The whole point of view thing, it takes that, because, I mean, the point of view thing had been brought up in the original trilogy, but it does. It takes that and takes it one step further. So,
was it Rashomon or
I think it was.
Do you remember?
It was Rashomon. It was Rashomon. Thank you. It was Rashomon. It was Rashomon.
I looked it up, and I think it said, like, yeah, that was the inspired. That movie inspired flashbacks. It's particular.
Right.
Samurai style
Rashomon.
Lightsaber melee and red backdrops, which were all of what, you know. So
which,
that's awesome.
It's a testament to the fact that the people behind Kathleen Kennedy and the people behind the Disney version of Lucasfilm still want to please. I mean, they want to please everybody, but they also realize that the audience that's going to stick with them are the newer ones that are just coming on, because us old farts, we're going to die soon. I mean, not literally soon, but I mean, we're eventually going to move on. You know, we're eventually going to become Force ghosts ourselves. And so, you know, you want to move forward, and you want to give the older generations enough to be able to hang on to and still enjoy, but you got to give more for the people coming on. And I think, again, I think Kathleen Kennedy and crew are doing an amazing job. The more I learn about the elements that made The Last Jedi what it is, the more I appreciate it and embrace it. and I'm willing to see where this goes from here on out. I am fully ready for whatever, you know. But then again, we got Abrams back on for the third installment, so he might take it back home in the other direction. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it either way. It's a shame that, you know, Carrie Fisher won't be able to finish, because I know they wanted – the original intention was to have the first movie be Han Solo's film, the second be Luke's, and then the third one in the new trilogy to be Carrie Fisher, be Leia's film. And now we're not going to have that, which is going to be, you know, that's going to be a dark tinge on what is otherwise going to be a hopefully great installment. But I'm excited to see where they're going to go with this, because, you know, they they answered a lot of questions and they raised a lot of questions, but that's what a Star Wars movie does. I mean, look at Empire.
Yeah.
That's, you want to talk about, you know, that kind of thing, just messing with you.
Well,
so,
this is an epic movie that kept me from going to the bed. I didn't realize it was 2.5 hours till it was over.
Yeah,
and
right?
My bladder was about to burst, but I sat through the whole movie twice.
Yeah.
Before, because I didn't want to miss anything.
No, yeah, you really don't. So let's see. And we got 4 minutes
final,
left. Oh, go ahead.
One
final 4 minutes.
Thing I wanted to share that I thought would have been a cherry on the cake of this movie is if Lando Calrissian would have answered the call and helped them on the planet. That would have sealed the deal.
Yeah,
Johnson
insists that he tried to find a place to fit Lando and he couldn't, but I don't know if I agree with him on that, because I feel like there's at least a couple places where they could have thrown Lando in there, but it is what it is, you know.
I think was way cool, but yeah, that's, go ahead.
We got like 4 minutes left, so Moody, you want to throw out the last thoughts or whatever?
Okay, well, since it cuts us off at like 7:15, we've got to pretty much have this wrapped up. I want to thank you guys so much, both of you guys, for being on here as chatting with us about everything. This was just awesome. I think we got a lot out of this particular movie.
Me too.
I want to mention that next week we are going DC on your ass. My guest, it's Mo. I got to contact her today probably and see if she's still on for next week. and then Marvel on the next Monday, and then Disney on the 1st February, which you're not going to be there for that one, right? Like you... Donnie, you said the 4th of February, you were not.
I can actually make that now.
The
trip that I originally was scheduled for with my job actually got moved, so I'm actually free that Monday, so I can hop in.
So we've got that, and then what's after that? I think Doctor Who's after that, and then
nice.
And then after that, Boy Meets World or something. I don't know. I think we've got it written down somewhere. So, but I want to thank everybody who listened tonight. Hopefully you guys got some stuff out of it as well and you enjoyed this.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Alfred.
And thank you, Alfred, so much for calling in, dude. We really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Great.
You're welcome, guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot for having me on again. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, everybody have a great night.
You guys have a great night. May the force be with you. Yeah.
May the force be with you.
And the force be with you always. All right.
Always.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Night. Bye.